Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, folks. Tuesday, March 10th. And we're here with you. It's almost tax day in about a month from now.
It is.
Yeah. But you're done and
done. It's like I can't even believe people haven't done them yet.
Right. Well, believe it.
I know.
I haven't done it yet.
I did mine on, February 1st?
Wow. Yeah. And I still have to do the corporate one, too, which is due this month. So I'm working on that. Because, you see, I used to work in accounting in accounting departments. Then I became like my own freelance, accountant, controller type of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so I did a lot of that stuff, and I know how to do it, you know. So I'd rather do it myself, not so much because of the cost, as you're just more in control of what you're doing when you understand what you're doing. And today with software, you know, I mean, you can do anything you want.
So you're not going to use Michael Horowitz?
Well, we might, but for other things.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
It's not easy finding someone. But no, he seemed like a nice guy. I'm just still trying to figure out what capacity I need him for.
Right.
Yeah. So how are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I had a late night of watching The Bachelor last night, though.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You have to watch that one.
Of course.
Yeah. Why, was it on
late? It was the finale. Yeah.
Oh,
it was,
so it went for 2 hours or something?
It was 2 hours plus and after the final rose ceremony.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where they talked to the couple after the fact.
So now, did the winner, was it someone you wanted to win?
I don't know. I guess I wanted her to win because I thought she made the most sense for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so it worked out.
Yeah.
So you were right.
Yes.
Wow.
I was.
Very cool.
I usually predict them correctly.
Yeah, huh?
You spend enough episodes with them, you sort of figure it out.
I guess you do. How many years have you watched it?
Not that many. Maybe it's been on for 13 years.
Really? That long?
So I've watched probably 4 years out of the 13 years.
Okay. Well, okay. So you're not that bad.
No.
But it's a funny show in a way.
It's ridiculous. You
know? It is ridiculous.
It is. Yeah.
It really is. For women to, I think they don't really, do it justice for themselves being on a show like this. You know, I mean, they show like weaknesses, I think. Some of them seem pathetic or pathetically desperate.
Most of them seem pathetic.
Right.
But then they also become, you know, correspondents and entertainment reporters. And really, I mean, I've even considered doing it just to like put myself on TV.
So you think all of them actually find a career after that?
No, not all of them.
No, huh?
It's a lot of people. But yeah. I think some of them have that goal and they accomplish it.
Okay, so go. What the hell?
I wouldn't thrive in a setting like that. I'd probably just make friends and talk a lot and be funny. I'd give funny commentary about the other girls.
Yeah.
But I would never in a million years fight 24 other women for one man.
Right.
There is just no world that would be possible.
Yeah. Especially when these things don't usually last, do they?
No.
Once they meet?
No. I'm going to guess. And since I'm not under any kind of like NDA or contract from ABC, that they have to sign some sort of deal where there's, you know, they have to make a match with somebody. It can go on how long it needs to. They need to make appearances and things like that. And then it can, you know, come apart at some point.
Yeah.
I think they get a bump if they get married. They probably get a bigger bump if they have kids.
Yeah.
Because then it shows that the show is successful.
Yeah.
Otherwise, who would watch? If every season it failed, nobody would watch.
Is The Bachelorette still on?
Oh, yeah. That's coming up
next.
That
one's on, too.
Mm-hmm. But now they have two Bachelorettes.
Yeah.
Because last season was such low ratings, they had to do something different. So now they have two Bachelorettes starting on night one. Mm-hmm. And the 25 men will vote who they think would be a better wife. And that woman will then continue on as the Bachelorette.
Oh, wow. That's pretty original then.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. So they kind of more or less get to choose the girl.
Yeah. But then what happens? I mean, I guess it's an odd number. So if 25 men, you know, vote between two women, mm-hmm. one should come out as the right. winner. But then what about the other guys who voted for that other woman? Are they still going to vie for the woman who's still there? I don't
know. Yeah, I'm sure guys will go for anyone.
But then you have the issue of like, well, are you here for me or were you here for her? Yeah, why are you still around? Yeah. Do you just want to be the Bachelor the next season?
Right.
Are you? And it comes out to, are you here for the right reasons? That is the best phrase and the most famous phrase come out of that show. That people are there for the right reasons.
Right.
What are the right reasons? You're on TV finding love.
Yeah. I know. Well, if that's a good reason, why not?
It's not real. Sorry.
Folks, in a few minutes, we have a guest sitting here who is a very special guest. We're going to get to him in just a second. And just a couple of things to cover. Well, I think we've talked Tinder to death pretty much, right?
We have, unless you have updates on your dating life.
No, not from Tinder, but I don't know. I haven't paid much attention to it because it seems too slow. The correspondence is too slow for me. Maybe because I don't check it as much as I check my text and stuff. You know?
Probably.
But I probably should check it like hourly and respond.
Right.
Yeah. But then, you know, each one it's like... You know, like we discussed here, they're not crazy about texting. So it means I have to call each one of them.
Right.
It's a pain in the ass, you know.
Yeah.
Let me know if it's even worth the call first, you know.
It's hard because, you know, what do you say over text on Tinder that's going to make somebody even interested to move to the next step? And you have to keep it up and they're strangers. So
right. They are.
What are you going to chat with them about? How's your day? It's fine. Every day's fine.
No, not that. I mean, you could get the basic questions like what part of town they're in. You know, some people want to know that. You know, even what do you do? You know, what do you like? Things like that. Just sort of like an introduction. So when you call, you kind of know them a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just for me, you know, but at least you exchange phone number. So that's a step in the right direction.
Well, I think what other dating sites have as a leg up is the fact that they email. It's like more of a slower process.
Right.
So you don't expect immediate response because Tinder lends itself to like immediate gratification. However, then people take a while to respond.
Right.
So then it's not immediate and then they swipe again.
Yeah.
And it's like, when will it end? And how do you make contact with somebody?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, whatever. You know, the funny thing is I've seen some people that I know on there.
Yeah, totally.
Some women that I know, you know, it's so funny.
Right? Have you matched with any of them?
Yeah, well, yeah, obviously, because I guess you don't have to.
No.
No, I didn't. I didn't match them. But actually, one was, I went too fast, so I did. But I never really heard anything.
Unmatch people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
Well, because you don't know what she picked yet.
Yeah, besides, I didn't say I was... You know, I don't know I mean, sometimes I swipe right because I go too fast.
Right.
And then I realized I better go slowly now, you know, because it could be embarrassing.
It could.
You know.
It could. That's happened to me many times. I'm like, whoa, slow down, fingers.
I know.
It happens.
Yeah. And besides, sometimes you just read their profile and I guess it kind of adds to it, you know.
Yeah. But now you're into reading profiles. Good.
Yeah. I just don't get the blurry pictures, you know. I mean, it's like, you know, none of the pictures look like her, so she puts on like grainy pictures. And in today's, you know, with today's phones and everything, you can get nice, clear pictures.
Everyone can take a selfie.
Yeah, you know, so anyway. One more thing. I guess you heard that the Apple Watch is going to come out soon, right?
Yes.
You can't escape it. It's all over the media. I mean,
it is.
They get all this free media for nothing. But the question is, I mean, they're very expensive, you know.
$350
for the cheapest one, yeah.
Well, what does the cheapest one do?
Well, it's a basic. They all do pretty much the same thing. It's
but
just
like
different
it's
styles.
Oh,
probably like maybe more space. Different styles. They've got like luxury ones that sell for up to $10,000.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. It's probably like gold and maybe diamonds or
smart.
Something. Yeah, I know.
Because if I wouldn't want to wear the one that looks like the Samsung one. It's like a big, weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, Jetson's these look watch. Actually very fashionable. You know, I mean, you would expect Apple to do something that's pretty cool.
Sweet. I should check that out. Not that I want it, but I'm just curious.
I know. It's like, it totally doesn't look like a women's watch, but,
But, like, what's the point of it? Like, you have a phone.
Exactly.
You have a TV. You have an iPad. Why do you now need a watch?
Right. Then you need an iPhone to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what does a watch do? Like, why is it on the market?
Well, you can get, like, notifications, text, you know, all the messages you get on your phone, you probably can get on here. Now, it also has, like, a sensor for, like, biometrics, you know, anything you're...
Like a fitness type of a thing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, where it can measure your heart rate and things like that. So it has that. To me, the most attractive thing about it is different faces on it. You know, you can change your watch to look different every day, you know.
That's cool.
I know, like a Mickey Mouse watch and, you know. So we'll see.
Well, it's like a cell phone case. You can, like, you know, accessorize.
Exactly, personalize.
But I just don't really get it because, like, I know my phone counts my steps and it, like, connects to my Fitness Pal. And, like, my phone's literally in my hand all the time.
Really? So you don't need a watch.
So to move it to my wrist is not that much further.
That's true, yeah.
I don't think I need that.
I know. And for me to pull out my watch is not a big, or my phone is not really a big deal.
Right.
And so it's just, I think people are going to buy it for the coolness of it, probably. You know, just like people wanted Google Glass and all that stuff, although that never caught on. But, you know, I don't know. I can't see Apple really failing with something like this.
No. Somebody out there wants it. That's why they made it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. I have a lot of things I could buy with $10,000.
Yeah.
That are more necessary in my life than a watch.
Yeah.
That
even,
does what my
even
phone does.
For $350, you know.
That's more manageable. And
yeah.
I feel like they'll gift that in, like, you know,
that's
award
true.
Show gift bags. So
and some watches cost that much. I mean, I paid $500 for my watch, yeah. for a regular watch,
mm-hmm.
you know. But this probably means that watchmakers are also going to go by the wayside soon, you know.
But that's different. Some people wear watches because it's jewelry or just to tell the time.
Right. Or they know the workmanship that went into it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm talking about people that buy, like, $10,000 watches, you know.
Right. There are definitely, like, you know, collector's watches that
exactly.
you can get.
Exactly. Connoisseurs.
Not a device.
Yeah.
You could buy a car for that.
Yeah, I know.
You could buy an engagement ring.
Uh-huh.
Or at least put money down on it.
Yeah. All right, folks, we're going to get bring our guest in now who's sitting here patiently. His name is Rick Rosner. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You are well, I was looking forward to you coming in on the show because you're touted as pretty smart, very intelligent, and
I'm good at
I like
IQ
that.
Tests.
An IQ test. So does that mean you're very smart or are you just good at the tests? Because people will ask
My
that.
Twitter handle is Dumbass Genius, uh-huh. which reflects that I do some smart stuff and I do a hell of a lot of dumb stuff.
Cool. So, well, it begs the question, so what do you score on IQ tests?
Like the highest was 199.
Are you serious? Wow. I guess it starts being genius from like 125 or something, right? 130?
Well, anybody can, if you take enough tests, and I've taken a buttload of tests, you can, the more you take, the better you get, and the higher your score. And, you know, genius is really more like, I mean, the guy who's selling the Apple Watch, that guy's a genius.
Right. Get a little closer to the mic.
Okay.
Yeah, so what do you think about the Apple Watch? You think it's going to take on?
They say they're going to move 12 million units in, I don't know, the first year or so. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So Twitter... seems to think it's kind of a badge of douchiness.
You think so?
Well, especially the $10,000 one.
Right.
You know, it's a little like, you know, one reason Google Glass didn't do well is that everybody who wore one kind of looked like an asshole.
Looked like a geek, right, yeah.
No, it's like you bought it just to say you got
you
it.
Have one.
And you can afford that weird thing.
But this thing is enough scaled back, it doesn't ride your face, like this weird Borg thing, that it should do pretty well. And we're moving towards built-ins. You know, within 10 years, we'll probably have phones in our mouths.
Oh, wow.
That'd be really convenient.
Yeah.
Really?
I know, that's but that's kind of scary, too, you know, I mean, with implants and stuff
The whole,
like that.
The future is... crazy scary.
No,
everybody
is,
should
huh?
be freaking out. Everybody should be looking at the Apple Watch and Google Glass and all this stuff and realizing that kind of the human ways of life are, you know, we've got about 50 years left before things just get so
out of hand.
Weird.
Huh? Yeah. I know. I think so too. I really do. And I don't even think it's going to take 50 years. I think 2030, 2040, I think the world's going to be quite different from what it is today.
When are we flying cars is what I want to know.
First, we have to have the self-driving cars that are coming up.
That'll be good, the self-driving, because everybody drives like an a-hole now.
Right.
But you wouldn't want those same a-holes like working in three dimensions with the flying car.
That's true. Keep them on the ground. Yeah. You should have a special license for those who are like really good drivers.
Right.
You can go in the air.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing that concerns me is drones, you know, and everybody can own one. And people can do a lot of crazy stuff with it, you know. So I don't know. But so that's one thing that scares me. Another thing that scares me is the fading away of retail in general.
Well, in my neighborhood, the video store went out, and now it's the drone shop.
Are you serious?
No.
Yeah, on Ventura at Tujunga. Uh-huh. And in 12 years, the drone store will go away, and it'll be the household robot store.
Yeah, exactly.
I want one of those.
RoboCop or something.
First of all, the Roomba thing that like runs around your house and cleans your floor, that's as much robot as I need, but I love it.
Yeah, you have it?
No, but I have a friend that has it. I'm like, I need that in my life. I'm not going to spend $500 on that.
Is that how much it costs?
Yeah.
Wow.
Think so.
You make the money back. You put your cat on the Roomba. You put it on YouTube, and you get
true.
A million hit.
That's true. I like your thinking.
There you go. Yeah. So, and you do other things. We'll go into that in a moment. But I'm fascinated about this. I mean, yeah. You know, you're touted as the second smartest man in the world. I mean, is that like a tongue in cheek, or do you feel that you really are?
Like according to one list, I have the second highest IQ in the world. But IQ isn't the same as smartness.
Right.
I've done, you know, I was a bouncer for 25 years.
Really?
I was
25 years?
Yeah. I'm teeny now because I'm in my 50s, so I don't need like big old slabs of pec meat anymore. I'm not tossing anybody out. Uh-huh. You know, I was a very not good stripper for 20 years off and on.
Wow.
You know, and so...
Where did you live at the time? Where did you strip?
Colorado and New Mexico, where you don't have to... L.A., if you're going to be a stripper, you better be good looking, but Boulder, Colorado, Albuquerque, New Mexico, you can just get up there and...
They don't care, huh?
Well, you know, you'll make $7 in tips, but at least they'll let you get up there and dance.
That's true. Now, were you doing this for a woman audience or a male audience?
Mostly women.
Women, really? Okay, cool.
My plan was, because I was super nerdy.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get a girlfriend all through high school. So I thought, all right, I'll become a stripper. And then, like, the word cougar didn't really exist in that context back then, but the idea was that a cougar would take me home and she'd teach me all sorts of like sex tricks, and I could use that to overcome my nerdiness in future relationships.
Yeah. Good plan.
It didn't work at all.
No.
No, huh? Yeah, kind of a mentor or something, you know, but I think it's quite a lot of young men's fantasies to have an older woman, you know, like, I mean, that's what gigolos do. You know, except they do it for money. But that's probably, I think there are women, like rich women, that take care of like younger guys, you know, just as maybe in Hollywood it's true.
I have a friend that is taken care of by an older woman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a nice gig to have, I guess, up to
there
a
you
point.
Go. Yeah.
It didn't happen with me. You still need to have some kind of game, even when you're naked and swinging yourself in front of the customers.
Right.
And I never had game. The last woman I picked up in a strip joint was, well, this is 30 years ago, but she went about 240.
Okay. But I mean, it's still, you know, I mean, I'm sure she was nice and everything, but that's not what you had in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. So did you grow up in Colorado, New Mexico?
Yeah.
Is that where were you born?
Born in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
My parents split up, and one started a family in Boulder, and the other stayed in Albuquerque.
Oh, I see. Okay. So you stayed in Albuquerque for a while, or did you move to Colorado?
No, I grew up in Boulder.
Uh huh.
And I got to my senior year in high school and couldn't get a girlfriend and decided I was not going to leave high school as a virgin. So I broke into my high school, stole blank transcripts, created a whole new identity, and went back to high school with my other family in Albuquerque to have a second senior year.
Wow. So like
a second
chance. In
which I didn't even get close to talking to a girl again.
Yeah. Now, since then, I mean, have you worked on that? I mean, because I know some people, I mean, we have like coaches and things like this coming on the show all the time. There'll be like a wingman or something or a wingwoman.
Well, everything's moot now because I've been married almost 24 years.
There you go. So you managed to find someone.
Yeah.
You see, there's somebody for
everybody.
And keep her. How many years? 20, did you say?
Almost 24.
Oh, 24 years. Wow.
That's a lot of years.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which is good because, I mean, to not have somebody in L.A. is just miserable.
Hey.
It really is, huh?
I mean, well, just the whole... You guys were talking.
No, but you have. I mean, you
Tinder
have friends
earlier.
And stuff. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're
friends.
Alone.
No,
yeah.
But like in the dating capacity, like yeah.
Because like dating is all weird in LA because everybody has a professional estimation, kind of a showbiz estimation of what they're worth in terms of attractiveness.
It's so weird,
and that gets all mixed up with any kind of like actual attraction and stuff. And
right,
and. I don't know. I'm just glad that I've been with somebody forever here.
Awesome. Do you guys have any kids?
Yeah, we have one.
Oh, wonderful. How old?
She's 19.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Jen is an only child also.
I am.
So she can relate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. Is she, I mean, do you notice that she's pretty happy in the situation or do you think she'd want to have siblings?
It's, I don't know, my wife didn't, my wife's brother was kind of a a-hole.
Okay.
So like my wife doesn't see the value in siblings.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a helicopter parent, it helps to have, if you're going to hover over your kid, it helps to have only one target.
That's true, yeah.
So, I think our kid has gotten a pretty good deal out of being an only kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I mean, I think some of the most successful people in the world, many of them have been only children, So, go figure. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Anything more wrong than when your parents split up and, and it's like you want to know, what was I trying to say? Fuck it, man.
I don't know, but I grew up in the 70s and I've parents and step-parents, and I have four brothers and sisters, and basically nobody has the same two parents.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah.
So the 70s were kind of a lesson in what not to do.
Right.
So...
Yeah. Yeah. So you grew up in the 70s also, so we're probably a similar age. You're in your 50s as well.
Yeah.
Where did you live during the 70s? Were you in Colorado then?
Yeah, in Boulder.
Yeah. So that was a pretty cool place.
Yeah, it didn't get 70s. Weird till Mork and Mindy came on the air in 78.
Did you know about that show with Robin Williams?
Yeah.
That's how he started pretty much on TV. That's funny. Cause,
so now Boulder's way Boulder. Too fancy.
Like, yeah.
The real estate in Boulder is kind of like it is here.
Uh-huh.
People make all their money here, and then they move to Boulder, buy a big fancy house. So, they shut down my elementary school and my junior high because they don't have enough kids left in town because it's a rich, fancy town now to support the public schools.
Oh, really? Wow. So it's more like a... It's also more like a resort town, right? I mean, many people go there for
a resort. Vail's probably more.
Vail,
It's kind of gateway to the resorts.
Right. Yeah. Oh, well. So at what point did you move away from there?
When I went back to high school at 18. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Albuquerque for a while. Then I came back and did some college. And then I went back to high school again at 26.
Why is that?
The first time I went back to try to lose my virginity. Didn't come close.
Right.
I have a theory of the universe I've been thinking about forever, and I just wanted a place to sit and think, and I thought, all right, before I lose any more of my hair, I'll take one more shot at going to high school, not this time to get a girlfriend, because that would be weird and creepy at 26, but just to have a place to sit and think the way Einstein had the Swiss Patent Office, where he came up with all his stuff, because when he wasn't looking at other people's patents, applications. Uh-huh. He was working on relativity and Brownian motion. And I thought, all right, I'll just go to back to high school. I'll be stuck in one of those little desk chair combinations all day, and I'll have no choice but to think about the structure of the universe.
Yeah. Wow. So you have a theory about the universe? Is that what you said? Let's hear it.
Well,
I love this stuff.
Basically, the Big Bang is going away.
It is?
I think so.
So it didn't happen 14 million years ago? Billion years, right? 14 billion.
Yeah. I think the universe is crazily older than that. Just hugely, hugely older than that.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people in physics, and me too, think that the universe is an information processor. Mm. That everything that happens in the universe, according to the laws of quantum mechanics and some other stuff, is really about the transmission of information, the universe sharing information with itself.
Mm.
The Big Bang isn't consistent with the universe being an information processor. Do you want your information processor to blow up? That's like buying a calculator, though people don't do that anymore, and throwing it away after it does one calculation.
Right.
I think the universe recycles over hugely long periods of time.
Right. So you're saying the universe is more like a process?
Yeah, it's the universe is processing information.
Okay. Wow, that's very interesting. So, but where did it all start? I mean, was it always there?
No, but I think you have to go back for, I don't know, quadrillions, octillions of years. Not just billions, but billions of billions of years.
Really? Wow. So you say it's existed that long. Now, why do you think that is? I mean, because obviously they've been the theories of the Big Bang for many years.
Well, because the universe looks super Big Bang-y. It looks like there was an explosion.
Right.
But I think
that's... It looks Big Bang-y.
Well, you look at the galaxies and they're redshifted, which means that you can measure how fast the galaxies... Some galaxies are moving away from us,
right.
Apparently.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a trick of the nature of information. The same way when you look at train tracks, they don't really touch at the horizon. It's a trick of perspective.
Right.
And I think that the Big Bang appearance of the universe is at least in part a trick of the nature of information, where, like you were talking about doing taxes. When you do taxes, you set up your information space. You take all your receipts and all your 1099s and all that, and you lay everything out. I use my bed, so the bed turns into my information space.
Okay.
And, you start building stacks, and you start adding stuff up, and then it's a big mess.
Right.
But I think the universe is an information space where it's set up to process information, and things that are related to each other informationally are close to each other, and things that have less to do with each other are farther away and more redshifted.
Right.
And that whole setup, I think, makes it look like there was a Big Bang 14 billion years ago.
Right.
But I think instead it's a series of little bangs that you have a bunch of collapsed matter at what looks like T0 at the beginning of time, basically.
Okay.
Though it really wasn't. But it's this collapsed neighborhood where it's all the old burnt out galaxies that function as the universe's memory. And then I think, depending on what the universe needs to calculate, it can light up those old galaxies again. So you have a series. It's like a boiling pot of water. You light up some galaxies. They burn for, 40, 50 billion years. They use up all their protons. They collapse back down. They kind of slide away to the side of the universe again to wait to be lit up again when the universe is needs that information.
Wow. Yeah. So it's kind of like a computer processor, pretty much. I mean, now, so my question to you is this. Now, what makes me live in awe is the intelligence behind everything. I mean, we're like a self-contained ecosystem right here on the planet. And not only the planet, but the universe, I mean, there's order to everything. There's like, you have... gravity. You have huge things and you have very small things, right? Which is what Einstein was trying to find is
the unified field theory,
right?
And they're still trying to unify gravitation with quantum mechanics because the math just breaks down when you try to smash them together.
Wow, that's very interesting. The law of physics is the law of physics, but when you look at very big things and then very small things like atoms, there's no like unifying thing about, or we haven't discovered it yet, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people are still like, for 20 years, people were into string theory as maybe the answer to everything. And now string theory is kind of not as fashionable as it was.
Right. So I guess the experience is just rediscovering new things, you know, and discovering new facts that make you change your mind about what happened. And because it is, it's theories, you know, we can't ever know for sure.
No, I mean, the Big Bang has only been the predominant theory for 50 years. And more than 100 years ago, we didn't even know that there were other galaxies.
When, like 100 years ago?
Yeah, that's when they, you know, Hubble was working in the 1920s. Hubble's the one who discovered the redshifts, that there are galaxies that the farther away from us they are, it looks like the faster they're moving away from us. And all that's, and the general relativistic description of a Big Bang universe came along in well, general relativity is 1915. It's the centennial year. And right. Then people working with general relativity to come up with models of the universe was in the 1920s. And then all that kind of resulted in the Big Bang. And then in 1964, some guys built a radio antenna, and they had this hiss, this noise, and they couldn't get rid of it, and they thought it was bird shit on the antenna. So they cleaned it, but it turned out to be a hiss that's apparently left over from the initial Big Bang explosion. And once that evidence came out in 64, it was game over for any other theory of the universe, and Big Bang's been it. But that's only 50 years.
Yeah. So things change as we get smarter, I guess.
Well, yeah, I mean... I mean, we've been the smartest thing on the planet for 10,000 years, but right. What I think is weird is that within the next 50 years, we won't be the smartest things on the planet anymore.
The robots will?
Well, we're going to become the robots. Everybody's going to have to become kind of a half robot to keep up.
I feel a little robotic.
Really? In what way?
I don't know. I'm very structured and routine-oriented.
I mean, you've got the apps in your head.
Right.
And then you've got the apps right in front of you on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's now all just kind of shifting in and out of, you know, from app to app to app to app. And we're starting to see the Apple Watch may be the first successful thing that rides your body.
Right.
Or, you know, it may fail, but that's coming along. Somebody's going to find something that doesn't annoy people more than they like it, so that they'll use it.
Right.
That, and it won't look like, douchey.
Yeah, like, that won't get you punched in a bar.
Right. Yeah. I would like to tell you what my tea bag told me last night, because you know how Yogi teas always have like a little... No, you don't know that. They have a little like tag on the bag, and they have a message. So mine said, "Man is a star on the stage of the universe."
Nice, except a little sexist. What about women?
I think it was
maybe
gender
mankind.
Neutral. Right, probably mankind. Right. Which also, why not womankind?
Yeah, there you go.
Now we're going
to going back to The Bachelor, I think as of a season or two ago, I think there's been one successful marriage out of all those seasons of The Bachelor.
Trista and Ryan?
Now, was Trista the... Didn't she lose on The Bachelor and then she became a bachelorette?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe. And then she, she was like a heat dancer from Miami.
Yeah. So I think that The Bachelor doesn't get credit for that. It has to go to The Bachelorette because she.
Right, right.
So The Bachelorette has a slightly better track record. They have like two out of, I don't know, a dozen or more seasons. But yeah, they usually go for about 3 months, and then enough for, you know, a bunch of In Touch covers where, you know, it turns out that somebody's been texting some ex-girlfriend from before they were on, you know, the show, and 3 months is about the average.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about your life and stuff. What do you do as a career?
Until last year, for 12 years, I was a writer for late night TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what shows, for example?
Like Jimmy Kimmel.
Really?
Oh my God, I loved him on The Bachelor last night.
He was on The Bachelor?
It was so great. He was on After the Final Rose, and he was hysterical. He brought them a cow because it's a farmer who was The Bachelor.
Oh, well, do you think this one's going to... He seems less flaky. I haven't watched any of this season.
It was a really boring season.
But like, he lives in this town where nothing happened. Do you think this one's going to stick?
Yeah. I do. Yeah. Unless, well, here's the thing. if you put them in a vacuum, I think it would stick. If you now he has all this like celebrity, if he were to leave Arlington, Virginia, you know, Arlington, Iowa, then he would be more of a celebrity and have a lot more access to him and more like people coming after him. So then there's more temptation. But I think if he were to actually go back to Arlington, do his little farmer life, have his wife, produce babies, they'll be a happy little couple.
Yeah.
Can his potential wife handle living in a podunk little?
She says she can.
Okay.
She's all about it.
All right. Well,
yeah. Why not?
We shall
try
see.
It, right?
It's nice when stuff works.
It
you
is
don't
nice.
Have to see the torn cover.
Breaks my heart every single time. And it's like, I know it's coming. It's more of a matter of like, is it 3 months? Is it 4 months?
Yeah.
But anyway, so you vote for Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah. So a TV writer, when did you start that?
The last time I graduated from high school, I was 27. And I was in New York City. I graduated in Harlem. And I was living with my girlfriend and, you know, just looking for work as a nude art model. And at one of the, at Ford, on the Fordham campus, they had posters up, come try out for an MTV game show.
Yeah.
Singled Out?
No, Remote Control. This was
a few years
before
that
Singled
one.
Out.
You'd sit on those, like, comfort.
Everybody'd sit in Lazy Boy recliners
Lazy Boy,
and answer questions
you.
About TV.
Yeah.
And so I tried
so
out.
So funny.
And I'd never been around, like, TV people before, and everybody was really smart and funny, and I liked it. And I said, can I work for you guys, and you don't have to pay me? And it turns out that MTV runs on interns.
Yeah,
oh, really?
They do.
Still?
Probably, though not as much, because there have been some lawsuits involving people being called interns, even though they were being used as full-on salaried employees and stuff, so... Yeah. I'm sure MTV still runs on interns, but other companies like Warner Brothers kind of got their hands slapped, so they've pulled back on the internship programs.
Yeah, I know. That's like a, I would say smart or clever, but it's yeah, it's an exploitative way.
Yeah, but it's mutually exploitative.
You think
right.
so?
Yeah, because the intern, speaking from one who was once an intern, you want experience. You have to have a resume. People aren't going to hire you unless you have work experience. How do you get work
right.
experience
but
if you've
probably,
never worked?
But you probably don't expect to do like full time for free.
Well,
right?
they like one big movie company was like a guy was working 40, 50 hours a week as an accountant, but unpaid because they were calling him an intern.
Yeah.
And so that guy and maybe some other guys eventually, you know, filed suit, so the people have had to behave a little better.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, people do all kinds of things. So, do you still write?
Yeah, I've got a book I'm trying to sell
okay.
about the 10 years I spent going back to high school.
Really? Yeah, I mean, because that like, totally, I mean, it doesn't click with me. How did you end up going back to high school at 26, and why? I mean, didn't you finish high school the
yeah,
first time around?
Yeah, but nobody likes high school. Everybody's fairly miserable in high school.
Right.
Like, I can look out the window and see there's a huge high school across the street from you guys.
Right.
You can just kind of catch the waves of angst rising up from there.
Right.
But high school's very clear.
Uh-huh.
Everybody understands why they're miserable. and Claire, you know, in adult life, everybody's kind of a little bit miserable, but the causes are more nebulous.
Mm.
And plus, you know, people are nice in high school because, again, it's not real life. People have not – they're not out there having to struggle and stuff. So, yeah, right. High school is portrayed in the movies as a place of, you know, relentless cruelty.
Like Mean Girls?
Like Mean Girls, but that's really middle school. People kind of learn some decency by high school, and since they're not out there trying to struggle for, you know, professional success or whatever, there's actually, you know, high school's one of your less douchey periods of life.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Now, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you've been married for a long time and stuff. Do you have any secret to share with us?
Keep your marriage go to going? Couples counseling.
Yeah, that helps.
And learn how to play the couples counseling game.
What's that game?
My wife and I have been going to couples counseling for, you know, more than a decade. And you know, it's an hour every 3 weeks and stuff. And it gives you a refereed environment in which to air your gripes.
That's not a bad deal.
No, because, like, you know, there are issues in everybody's relationship that are super touchy. and they're like sand in an oyster. They're always irritating you, but you know if you bring it up in a just on your own, unless you're some freaking Gandhi who can manage to talk about it without everything exploding, it's tough. So, but with a professional there who's
The referee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the real secret to couples counseling is to have gripes. You have to have a couple issues, even if you're pretty happy, go in there with issues, because the person who doesn't have issues is the asshole.
Really?
The person who thinks that everything's fine, well, he's probably the source of everything that's wrong.
Right. And that's usually the guy, I think. You know? I mean, they say that the women usually are first to know when the relationship is over, when the guy's just saying, no, everything's fine,
Well, that means because somebody probably checked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, everything's fine because I don't care.
Right.
Yeah. Or because, internet.
Yeah. What do you think... they're saying the internet is going to look totally different in the future. Do you see anything like that happening? I mean, do you see any evolution to the internet?
Well, just that we're going to become these kind of – everybody's going to become more and more tangled up in their apps.
Right. More connected, maybe?
Everybody's going to be like – there's that old saying, no man is an island. But really, up till now, everybody has kind of been an island with, we've all been locked inside our own brains.
Right.
But, over the next century, all that's going to get busted up and we're going to be piping ourselves into each other's brains all the, everything's going to, there's going to be more connectivity.
Connectivity.
One thing that I'm thinking might go away is really dumb sexual misadventures.
Okay.
I think that's going to become old school where... Like, you got a Tiger Woods and you got a Bill Cosby who, kind of serial sexual offenders.
Okay.
Because too many people will talk?
Well, there's the end of privacy.
Yeah, there is definitely no privacy.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And then it's just so dumb because when you see who... Now, Cosby's a different story because he preyed on people. But when you have somebody who's kind of a... serial fooler around her like Tiger Woods, all the women he got with, most of them were pretty terrible. It's pretty not worth it, especially compared to
his wife. Right. Get a little closer to the mic.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to become clear that kind of messing around is counterproductive unless you have a subconscious need to be punished, and that the new school is just going to be taking care of what you need outside your own relationship via the internet.
Yeah. Everything is so transparent, and it's just going to continue to be that way, I think, where there is no privacy whatsoever.
It's Big Brother.
Yeah. So how are people going to cheat on their mates? I don't know.
They should probably stop.
Yeah.
Well, I just think it's going to... For people who aren't complete idiots or who don't want to set up a thing where everybody gets punished, because some people have like Anthony Weiner. It wasn't just about, showing his dick to people. It was also like he needed the almost getting caught and maybe the getting caught. I don't know. It wasn't just about sex. It was about some other weird psychological
issue. I think it usually is. Everything that people are screwed up with, somehow it connects sexually to something,
They actually came out with an article about addiction, that it's not addiction to the thing. It's more that they need a connection with something. So they'll take whatever.
Right.
So with sex addicts too, it's you just need to connect with other humans.
Right. I don't know. My personal opinion is most men are probably sex addicts.
They'll take maybe anything. Men are just needy.
They'll take anything.
Their moms.
I think
anything,
sex is anytime. Less important to people now than it was when I was a kid in the 70s. Maybe it's because I'm in my 50s now, and the pills I take to try to keep my hair knock down my libido.
Yeah.
But everything in the 70s, except for sex, sucked. The food was terrible. The TV was awful. The clothes were
But the music
stupid.
Was amazing.
Okay, but all right. But music, it's you can't just do music.
Right.
And you can have music on while you're having sex.
Right.
But just everything was kind of bleh, except, you know, people, America wasn't fat yet, so you could have sex with people who...
Right, no AIDS either.
Yeah, so yeah. Sex was like the one great thing.
Right.
But now, you know, there's a lot... Entertainment is great. TV is great. Movies are pretty awesome. Right. You know, video games, which barely existed in the 70s. There's just a zillion other things that...
There's CrossFit.
Well, yeah. That's kind of punishment, but...
I think yeah. so, too.
I know, but my son does it. He swears by it.
I know. People are have these crazy, like, fitness routines now, too.
Yeah, I go to the gym 5 times a day. I've got OCD.
Oh, yeah, I read that, you know, that you have some kind of workout that you do.
I just go to, you know, there are a zillion gyms in L.A., and I'll just go, after I leave here, I'm going to go to 5 gyms on the way home.
Why is that?
Because it's just some weird, stupid trick I play on myself, because I'm kind of mathy. I have a tattoo that says, born to do math.
Really?
So I like the numbers. I like being able to say, ooh, I went to the gym 5 times a day today, uh-huh. even though, you know, in the 5 times, what I did probably adds up to, like, 1 or 2 total workouts.
Really? So, but you have to do that at different places?
Well, yeah, then it doesn't give, if you stay at the same place, it doesn't count.
I see.
You
got to
go, you know, right. You go LA Fitness, other LA Fitness,
right.
Gold's.
So you don't measure it by the time that you work out, but by how many you go to.
Yeah, which is, it's like circuit training, except the circuit isn't machines, it's actual gyms.
Wow.
Doesn't that get expensive?
No, because I pay $25 a year for my LA Fitness, because they ate Bally's. And Bally's used to have a deal where the further back in time you became a Bally's member, the cheaper it was.
Oh, yeah. I think my family in Miami has a Bally's membership, and it's like $10 for the year or something.
Right, because somebody in your family signed up in the 70s.
Right. It's
so,
true.
So they had a deal. My father-in-law had one of those deals, and they had a deal where you could get the family deal if you signed up at some. So I took that deal, and then, so, wow. You know.
Very cool. So now, in the last few minutes, so the book you're talking about, did you write it already?
It's a proposal, and it's with publishers, and one of you publishers, this book will sell like 150,000 copies. It's got everything. It's got stupid sex. It's got stupid attempts and failing to have sex. It's got a theory of the universe that's going to replace the Big Bang. Uh-huh. It's got me getting punched in the face in bars. It has me like dancing naked for people and failing to convert that into, you know, getting laid. It's really smart and really stupid at the same time. It's called Dumbass Genius.
Cool. So it is an autobiography pretty much, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you tell about your life and all that, but yeah. also about your thoughts and theories. And
well, the theory is like a Trojan horse. It's like 5% of the book. I just kind of sneak it in. You can't put too much of that stuff in there. They told Stephen Hawking when he wrote Brief History of Time, they said, for every equation that you put in this book, you'll cut sales by 50%.
Wow.
So the only equation he put in was E equals MC squared.
Really? That's it?
And he sold 10 million books.
Yeah. That's smart. Wow. Did you see the movie, The Theory of Everything?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it good?
It's fine. I mean, if you know what it's going to be, he's going to start out okay, and then by the end he's, you know, half yeah. melted into his wheelchair.
Right. Wow.
The craziest part for me, I mean, I didn't see the movie, but I heard about it, was like what happened with him and his wife.
Yeah, well, he's, even though he's, I mean, his wife kind of, you know, went extracurricular, and even though he has very little mobility, he still likes women.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And they both get remarried, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I'll have to see that. I'm dying to see that movie.
Apparently the movie wasn't very good, but the acting was amazing.
Well, it's the movie's fine. It's just very straightforward. It tells the story, and if you know the story, it's, you know, it's up to you. What do you want to see? A guy, you know, come up with a bunch of theories about black holes while his body falls apart.
Wow.
And if you want to see another smart guy, you know, fighting various issues, then you can see The Imitation Game.
Which was
game.
So great.
Imitation
Did you
game.
Like it?
Yeah, I knew
yeah,
you
yeah.
say that. Yeah.
I loved it.
Very cool. Well, we are out of time. Rick Rosner, go ahead and let people know how they can get a hold of you.
I think you should probably just, you know, go to Dumbass Genius on Twitter and take a look at my stupid tweets. I tweet way too much. You're only supposed to tweet 10 times a day. I'm up to about 30 times a day.
Wow.
Which, you know, gets to the point where people mute you because it gets really annoying.
Yeah. Wow. So you like it. I mean, you get to broadcast your opinions and everything, and you have a lot to say.
I just hope that if I get enough followers that, you know, some publisher will say, all right, well, maybe some of these followers will buy his stupid book.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we wish you much success with the book. When it gets published, please come back and let us know about it. You know,
thank you.
I'd die to read it and find out more about you. You're a fascinating man. And thank you for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're totally out of time. Thank you, Jen.
No problem.
See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.